Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hi, JP. How you doing?
Good. I learned a lesson today. I got my hair cut and nobody commented on it at all, which it's not what I'm going for. It's more the idea that I probably shouldn't have got the haircut then.
Why is that?
Well, if it wasn't that noticeable to anybody, to even be like, you did notice.
Yeah, 100%. Was going to say it three times. But we had a busy pre-show. And so I was actually, true story, I was actually going to say it. Once we got to break, hey, by the way, your hair looks nice.
Oh, so I was just kicking myself because I was like, man, maybe I really didn't need a haircut. Because, you know, the baby's coming next week, and so I'm trying to get ahead of it because I'm not going to have as much time once the baby comes to go do those things. And so now if I get one now, I can just kind of ease off on haircuts for a little bit. But, I was like, maybe I didn't really need it.
By the way, I don't think you needed it, but it does look good.
Okay, well, thank you.
Right? So we got that going for us.
All right, that's nice. At least it makes me feel like my my very cheap, affordable haircut was worth it.
I think it was, and it doesn't look cheap either. Now, what was cheap was the morning show's approach to talking Baker Mayfield again today. And I get it. You were wrong, and all the many narratives that you just... took from basic things that the Browns leaked about Baker Mayfield, all the things that your side of history, and that was one side of history, didn't turn out to work out the way the Browns wanted, and certainly the people who backed that line of thinking did. But there were a few things I want to get to today, because I really have enjoyed Ken and Anthony's version of history that that they have been espousing since the moment. I will say they're incredibly consistently wrong about the side of Baker Mayfield. But I'm going to play Ken first, because Lima took a cheap shot. That's fine, because Lima just blatantly misleads about things, and he's the slippery wizard. It's part of why we love him. I can't get mad at that. But there was something that Ken was saying today, and again, we weren't going to talk Baker Mayfield, right? We've talked about Baker Mayfield earlier today.
Yeah, we did the Baker Mayfield discussion.
And there is this insistence from the people who pushed the anti-Baker narratives, which, and I want to make this very clear, the anti-Baker narratives, there was no pro-Baker narrative from the media because Baker's camp didn't report his side of things and his side of things in the breakup with the Cleveland Browns. The only thing that were really reported at the time were Baker's pissed, Baker's not answering calls. But in terms of the breakup and what went wrong, the Browns, who, and I give them credit for this.
But Baker not answering calls wasn't even reported, by the way. That's just things that were told to people like me off the record.
Yes, but is specific to this, though. So much of what's been on the record has been done by a really, really well-run organization from the PR side of things. Not well-run in terms of the football side of things, but they did a great job and always have with this regime of getting their narratives out there, which have been accepted as fact. But we never really got the Baker side until Baker turned things around in Tampa. But I thought it was really interesting to hear Ken get frustrated today about the Baker conversation, which they brought up, and the rest of us haven't talked for the last 24 hours.
That's why his story is so amazing, because he wasn't good at points of his career. It's not an amazing story if he's just always good. No, that's not what we're selling here. The Baker Mayfield story involves the lows. Now, if you just want to put all the lows on the Browns, hey, they get that all the time,
way
every day.
That's
nothing different for the Cleveland
Browns.
That's
the way it's going to work.
But it's also the lows of him in Carolina. I don't know what you want to say about the experience with the Rams. But then also Tampa Bay didn't 100% buy into him. They gave him a one-year contract for $5 million. They made him battle with Kyle Trask. They wouldn't have done that if they thought he was good.
Guys, I got no fight left. I got no fight left. The fans of Baker, you have won. I cannot tell you how many times I got to tell you.
Okay,
I don't know why you're still fighting this fight.
I'm glad. Yes, the winners get to write the history.
Yes.
And Baker is admitting that he was culpable. And Mary Kay was there
but
reporting on it.
Cares.
Nobody cares what Mary Kay just said. I think they do care.
So specific to what Lima is saying, Lima is only talking to the most extreme version of people who enjoyed Baker. The people who think Baker have nothing to do with Baker's Baker not reaching his success that we all hoped for him when he got traded here. That's not what a majority of fans have done. And so I thought the conversation with those guys this morning was wildly disingenuous, which is not new for them. Because they love to pick and choose what they focus on and what details they lose out. It's once every 2 weeks that some show here, they play the wrong snippet or the snippet that might line up with whatever thing they thought they heard. And so I can't say that I'm surprised that Lima's speaking to the extremist. But to what Ken said, where Ken said, you know, the Baker fans or Baker bros, I'm over that. I really am. Because what you're saying, you're talking about Browns fans. This is not Shador Sanders. Shador Sanders had his shahive in Colorado. And those lunatics, whom we love, by the way, those lunatics have glommed onto the Browns. When you say Baker bros, which is a high-minded way that people have used to attack the people that like Baker in this town, myself, yourself, and anyone who just wouldn't just go quietly with a plan to trade the only thing closest to a franchise quarterback you've had since Bernie freaking Kosar and bring in a guy with a mountain of heinous, and I mean heinous things accused of him. And so for a very long time, Baker Bros, as if there is some alpha version of Baker Bros who've got an IQ of 12 and who don't shower, who are gym bros, and they just sit around watching tape of Baker and tweaking themselves real good. But that's not what Baker Bros are. I've got a 70-year-old aunt that's a Baker Bro. I myself am a Baker Bro. I know a Baker Bro of every single different version of human beings you can have, because they're not Baker bros. They're Browns fans, you jackasses. And your crap with Baker bro, Baker bro, Baker bro, Baker bro, that crap is what has divided this fan base on top of this moronic franchise. Sorry, the moronic move from the franchise. They're not moronic. They're really smart. Just give us time. We'll figure it out. But for the love of God, Baker Bro, how many times can a show say Baker Bro in a 7-minute clip from today?
It was a lot. It was a lot when Baker was going when he was here.
No, it was.
It was a lot.
And that was a way to silence people like you, JP.
Well, it was used obviously a lot, but maybe that's just them just going back into their memory banks and just kind of just bringing that from what that was. I don't know. The whole situation is obviously it's odd. Lima came on the other day and he talked about the local versus the national and how the national are getting it so right. All I've heard for 3 days, I've heard Nick Wright and Colin Cowherd absolutely bash the Browns. Hell, I opened my Twitter 15 minutes ago. Manuel Acho, Baker Mayfield was destined to be him. The Browns lied to us. Baker didn't.
No, that's not the media that they're talking about.
Oh, okay, so it's different. It's different national media. I'm so confused on this. Like when the accounting by so many people, whether it's national and local, are all making the same suggestion. Just because it doesn't fit into the box that you want it to, doesn't make it true.
And here's the thing: one of the things that they said this morning that were incredibly right. I mean, very, very, very on point. Was that whoever wins gets to go ahead and pick the narrative. Well, who won Browns versus Baker first? It sure as hell wasn't Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, he was down and out. I mean, he basically got left for dead. And a lot of people like myself that were making Baker Mayfield conversations, we had at many points just waved the white flags. And I guess we got no legs to stand on. I guess we're just idiots. And it was so frustrating because there were so many times you're like, my eyes tell me this guy can play football at an elite and high level. And he wasn't able to do so at certain moments. And you just kind of had to take it.
And I'm going to tell you, every time I heard Ken and Anthony talk about Baker Mayfield, I heard grown men throwing hissy fits. Because the version of truth, because that's what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with multiple different reports, a fair amount of them leaked by the Cleveland damn Browns themselves, of which Ken gets paid to go ahead and be a part of that Browns organization, of which Anthony Lima gets to go out to Kevin Stefanski galas. All of them favored the Browns side of things. So all any person who is a Browns fan who happened to still believe in Baker Mayfield or are frustrated about how Baker happened, all anyone's saying is, well, what's the other side of the story? All right? And I'm not here. Listen, I don't know how much different the Baker thing would be. But do I think Baker needed to grow up? Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes. By the way, it's the NFL. They don't come in as 60-year-old esteemed gentlemen with great 401ks and everybody's perfect. Did Baker have some problems that to this day, I'm sure he still... Of course he is. He's a human damn being. Ben Roethlisberger made a lot of boo-boos in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Do I think Ben Roethlisberger's a good human being now? I sure as hell don't. Right? He just got better at playing football. And what nobody on either side will remember or want to put on record is how bad the Browns organization was around Baker when it comes to the amount of offensive coordinators, the amount of head coaches, and all this. All anyone's asking for that looks at what Baker's doing now and wonders, why couldn't we do this here? All anyone's asking for is like the organization to like put this out there because they've owned the Watson stuff. Jimmy Haslam, it stops with me. We've all made mistakes. Yeah, all of us made mistakes. Nobody's done that with Baker.
I believe that they thought they did anything wrong with Baker, and I think that's part of the problem. I think they looked at Baker and said, we had a chance to get better with Watson, so we rolled the dice there, and that's where we made our mistake, instead of recognizing that they were throwing away what, at the time, legitimately was a top 10 to 15 quarterback in the sport. I want to play the New Heights podcast clip that we have.
Can we actually, because I still have something I'm burning on right here before we move to that. Are we okay to do that in the next segment?
No, that's fine, but it perfectly exemplifies what we're trying to discuss here right now, though. The idea that Baker has only spoken on it once, really mm-hmm. once, has only spoken on what went wrong here and how it went wrong. And he did it in a big swoop of everyone else. And that idea was the Browns, in many ways, were telling him to grow up and telling him to be a franchise quarterback. And we're trying to put these handcuffs on him in a way that Tampa isn't. And when you don't have the handcuffs on Baker, obviously a lot of things are working right.
And if you ask the question, why did this go this way? What could the Browns have done differently? You get accused of revisionist history. You get called a Baker bro.
Right, as if they did everything perfect in this.
And it wasn't. Baker failed here. Baker has to own that, and actually has.
He has.
That's what pisses me off. He's owned it. The not adult in the room has owned it. And then the literal adults in the media, many of whom I love. I do like Ken and Anthony. I like them very much. I listen to their show quite a bit. All right? I'm not just a coworker. I do listen to their show. But those guys, plus the Browns organization, who made a decision and were wrong, have said, well, it's revisionist history. As if you're the only one that knows what happened. Because you've only presented one side of it.
Sorry. Well, it just makes it seem as if the Browns should get some sort of Peter Lynn pass in this whole ordeal, and that just doesn't seem right to me in the slightest bit. It feels like even while Baker should own some of it, and he has owned some of it, the Browns have to own up to a lot of this. And yes, when Baker Mayfield is playing the way that he's playing, you do have to look back and say, what could we have done differently, and could we have done this better?
And here's the thing.
That's all.
No, very few people, are, and Baker bros included, are saying that Baker did nothing wrong. What they're saying is, why do other organizations hang with immature talent? Mike Tomlin put up, was it 8 seasons of Antonio Brown? And dealt with a hell of a lot more real problems. Antonio Brown being on, Cops Live, throwing his baby mama out of the house.
Cops Alive?
I couldn't remember the name of the damn thing. But the point is, Antonio Brown, of the final 4 years in Pittsburgh, was a walking PR disaster. Was literally screaming at washed-ass Ben Roethlisberger in the locker room. There are tales of how corrosive he was. And they gave that clown more of a chance, more of a benefit than the Browns did Baker Mayfield. And let's just get back to the central reality. The Cleveland Browns failed. That's it. That's not revisionist history. They took the best quarterback you had, and because they could logically explain where a guy with a bad arm who was injured had a bad season, coming off the previous season where he wasn't bad, they used that to leverage him out and get a guy they believed in more, which is commonplace in the NFL. But you can't even get these, and it's not even anti-Bakers. It's people who just don't want to admit that they were wrong, right? That's all this is. This is ego, commonplace ego. I have no problem admitting I'm wrong. I do it quite often because I'm wrong quite often. It's an occupational hazard. But the truth is, when it comes back down to it, while Baker had his feelings, the Browns had theirs. And asking, the only way you get out of here isn't if you just draft another quarterback you can screw up. It's if you learn the freaking lesson. But the number one lesson is, Baker bros, just to bring it all the way back, are Browns fans. They're not some extremist, idiotic group of people. There are, and by the way, nor is it a small amount of Browns fans. There are plenty of people here who got shouted down about Baker because they liked him as a quarterback by people like Ken and Anthony, and then they were labeled as Baker bros, or they were labeled as revisionist history. The revisionist history here is, we were right, nothing went wrong, screw you, screw Baker. That is trash. That is absolute ego-infused crap. 216-474-0092. I'll ask you guys, because you guys are the listeners. I don't care if you're a Baker bro or a Haslam hater or a Watson warrior. Is it time to put the Baker stuff to bed? And I'm going to give you how I think that can happen. We got quick hits coming up at 2:40. We got John Kuhn, Packers Radio Network, former Packer, at 3 o'clock, quarterback Deadpool at 3:40. By the way, that's a great bit. Yeah, definitely not every other show and every other station in town are ripping off that bit that we created first. But no.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Pete Futek coming up at 4 o'clock. And we also have Justin Latta, Locked On Guardians, and Cash Lovett in the 6 o'clock hour. Is it time to put the Baker stuff to bed? 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers. Can I blame Joey for this? I'm sorry. I'm starting to think about how we can get out of this conversation. And no one has paid the piper for Baker or Deshaun, and that's part of moving on. From Baker and Deshaun, we'll get to that in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. It's so funny that the thing
you also
that
talked for 5 minutes uninterrupted, and we both looked at each other like, okay, I guess we'll ask him something that isn't the Baker thing, because you're only on here for 5 minutes, not for 15.
Also, he wasn't disagreeing with you.
Well, that's the other thing. I didn't really know what part I should have even. That's why in the first segment I went back on the idea of whether or not like the vocal versus national, because that's the only part I was like, I don't agree with you on, is the idea that he thinks the national people are the only people that have gotten this narrative right, when the national people all week long are saying the same thing that I'm saying and that you're saying, that the Browns hold responsibility for this. And that's not a crazy take. Yes, Baker has admitted and has copped to some of his problems and his faults and him is growing up and what he had to do in all this, but like we just want the Browns to own some piece of that, and that's the part that we're missing.
I know what he's talking about. He's talking about when he mentioned that fans going to that event earlier this week, when they could have won $1,000 gift card. Yeah, that must have been where he jammed us up.
Cedric Tillman, I guess. I don't know. Like, I just don't get it.
I do, and it was the funniest thing about this to me is that that's not what triggered me. The thing that was a blatant slippery wizard.
I'm honestly not really that triggered by any of it, because I feel like we've done the Baker conversation. I have an accounting on the Baker conversation that I feel more than comfortable about within my brain. And we're good.
To me, it really was the Baker bro thing that set it off, because it just continues to come back to, it's a small amount of fans. No, it's not. There's a lot of people who really liked Baker Mayfield, and I think it's easy to forget he represented something to this town. Yeah. Yes, fans were frustrated with him because he was bad and he was stubborn and he had a bad year in 2021. But that doesn't mean every fan or every Browns fan wanted to run him out. It was so much more split than it's being presented. It just wasn't split on the station. where everybody in drive time wanted him out.
Yeah.
Like for various reasons.
I've told you before. I think I when you first came back, I was like literally the only thing people at remotes would come up and tell me is thanks for being the only person to stick up for Baker. Mm. Because on the station, yes, it was very against Baker in many ways. But the amount of people that loved Baker, it was rampant. There was a lot of people that loved Baker.
It's more of this revisionist history because it doesn't line up with what Ken and Anthony think. Jeremy in Fort Worth, what do you got for us, buddy?
Hey, guys, thanks a lot for your show. I appreciate it. Here's my problem. It's not just a Baker issue. The Baker problem is the Browns problem. They can't develop talent, and they can't manage personalities. When Baker came here, it was exciting. He was doing commercials. He was all in. And, yeah, he has problems, but he's a rookie. Of course he does. But nobody gets better when they come to the Browns. Nobody gets better when they come to the Browns. And that's what's so frustrating. So, yeah, the fans that love Baker, the big problem is the Browns problem. And then that's what's so frustrating. They can't develop talent. And Stefanski, he'd rather coach than win. You know, it's just the Browns' problem. That's my take on it.
Jeremy, so I will say, and I thank you for the call, buddy. I don't think it's just a Browns' problem, because I do think there's an element of frustration of we can accept multiple versions of the truth, and the gray area between those two things is where the actual truth lies. That's where we have to get with the Baker stuff as part of moving on. But to what you said, and I've called it arrogance at times, and I think that's fair. I also think Kevin is guilty of something that a lot of coaches are guilty of, which is this is my system and this is how you run it. We don't conform it to you. We might tweak some things for you, but here's the basis of how we do things because that's how it's going to go. And I think that plays out, and you were going to throw out to this clip, and I ran over you. It's from the New Heights podcast from over the summer where Baker talked about why he feels at home in Tampa.
This isn't to on the other team franchises.
No, man, you already know.
But,
man, you gotta do
but like the, when you step in and your GM and your head coach say, hey, just be you.
Yeah.
After I've been told at every stop and everywhere I go, hey, you need to tone it down a little bit. You need to be a franchise quarterback. It's just not who I am. Like, I wear my emotions on my sleeves. We've hung out. You guys know me. I'm going to talk. I'm going to do whatever. But when it's time to turn the lights on and go do something, I'm going to do it. So when I stepped into the building, they all told me to just be myself. And so it's been, not to say like comfortable, but it's felt like home since the beginning.
Yeah, and if there was a clip that ever kind of epitomized what the relationship and my interpretation of the relationship between the Browns and Baker Mayfield was, it's that clip right there, because that is Baker telling you in many ways, and this is how I remember it vividly, no revisionist history here, the entire time he was here, it was Baker, you need to do this differently. Mm-hmm. Baker, you can't go to the podium wearing just a white t-shirt. You have to dress like an adult when you go to the podium. Like, Baker, you can't be going out to this place on a Tuesday night. You're supposed to be studying the playbook. X, Y, and Z. And on and on, it just kept going with different accounts of the Browns, just trying to micromanage Baker in many ways. And it just, that's honestly where I think the relationship came to a head. Stefanski and Barry wanted him to be something that he isn't, while the Buccaneers are letting him just be him, where he's able to thrive.
Well, and remember, like, I think the Browns, I mean, Stefanski and Barry, I don't think they accounted for, that's not how it was with whether it was Hugh, Greg Williams, or Freddie Kitchens,
mm-hmm.
where Baker was allowed to be Baker.
And set a rookie passing touchdown record.
And so and again, like, there were things that Baker shouldn't have done that were chachi. But at the point of, I really think that the other thing that I think is really crucial at the point of fracture between these two sides is I think Baker's an emotional cat, and I think Stefanski and Barry are try their best to be unemotional. So I don't think they understood how to deal with an emotional quarterback.
Yeah.
And somebody that didn't maybe walk, talk, and act like Kirk Cousins.
And that's what they wanted. They wanted somebody that was like Kirk Cousins in many ways, and they thought they were going to get it. And when they didn't get it, they just tried to make him someone that he isn't. And I really do think at the heart of the everything, and I think part of even why it went a little sideways in how public some of the things got around Baker around the time that he was here, was all just in reaction to the idea that they were trying to cage him and they were trying to make him something that he isn't. And it was his way of revolting in many ways.
And listen, I would love to put the Baker conversation to bed. I'd love to. It is incredibly frustrating that we're still having to talk about it 3 years. And not just that, but it's growing because He's better now than he was last year, and last year he was sure as hell better than anything he had done in Cleveland. But the Browns have to get it right. They have to figure out sustainable winning, and they have to get back to. And I think the one thing that Baker had, Baker understood this city, and I think this city, this area, understood Baker. There's nobody in that organization now that you can say that about. I mean, I think Joe understands this a bit, but Joe is who he is. He's been a Browns quarterback for 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I love Miles. I don't feel like Miles gets us. I feel like Miles is a bit of a space cadet who it's like, you have to get Miles. I don't understand the Ivy League thing. I don't understand the creational myth that these guys go through, whether it's Kevin Stefanski or Andrew Berry. I am an emotional guy. I do wear my heart on my sleeve. And the idea of, process over results, that sounds like a really convenient excuse for you not getting the job done.
One other thing I thought was really just kind of, as we just kind of repack all this, is the idea that in that stretch when they were trying to get Baker to be this franchise quarterback that they wanted him to be and be basically buttoned up and be that guy, they move off of him to go for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Which is, in what world would you think you're going to be able to curtail that and get that to be the guy that you want him to be? Like, you see how faulty that is when you think about it and you just kind of lay it all out there? Like, you couldn't control Baker, so you got mad at it. So you said, all right, we're going to get somebody maybe we can. And your answer to that was Deshaun Watson? Like, you wanted a franchise quarterback and your answer to that was the guy with 45 sexual assault allegations? And so problematic as a human? How is that your response?
And
it was always doomed to fail.
Winning is sustainable winning is the easy way out of this. You can't make two of the worst decisions in Cleveland history, which is saying something, considering the things I have seen in my life. You cannot make that and then expect everyone to be okay when there's no change because of it. You've had a fall guy here. Alex Van Pelt was a fall guy. You've had a fall guy there. Joe Woods was a fall guy. And some of those guys, by the way, there were fall guys who
deserved to lose their jobs.
Like, Joe Woods deserved to lose his job.
Yeah.
But that was in lieu of you made the worst trade in NFL history. You brought shame upon the city of Cleveland by pulling off this trade and saying, if we just get the football right, everything else will take care of it. And then he didn't get the football right. And unless you win very, very soon, the only response is somebody real is getting fired. Because I can't fire Jimmy Haslam. But pound of flesh is not just something that fans want. At some point, when you fail this grandiose, when you fail this significantly, to just go, hey, don't worry, we got it. Well, I don't trust you and I don't believe you anymore. I did, but the farther 11-6 gets in the rearview mirror, the farther that one playoff win gets, don't tell me to trust you. When I don't identify with you, when the biggest moves you've made have failed so sufficiently and your response has been, we own that. That means absolutely nothing. I can't go to my mortgage broker and say, hey, didn't pay the mortgage this week. We own that. I can't go, Rob the mechanic, cannot pay you this week, brother, but I own that. That's not how life works. Not in a town where everything that every person out here has is something they earned. They did not inherit it from Paps. They did not get born into it, into an Ivy League lifestyle. You can get away with that crap in New York. You can get away with that crap in big towns where there's a lot of money and a lot of people who want to act like it's manifest destiny for everything they have. Not in this town. If you want to relate to this town, you own your crap. You do better than, we own that. You actually own it. You actually make changes and you actually get results. That simple. You want to move on from Baker?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Do it. Do the damn thing. Learn your lesson and stop talking out your ass every time somebody corners you about how poorly this thing has gone. Felt good.
I hope it felt good.
Sound good?
Did we do revisionist history? Was that okay?
All of it. I mean, okay. You know, unless Ken and Anthony say it, it's revisionist history.
Got a little
history.
Preachy at the end for me, but outside of that, we're good. You know,
I went to church a lot as a young man.
I have to check him. Like, did I do something wrong? He's back to yelling at me again. What's going on here?
My eyes also twitching, so I look just bat bleep insane.
When the video
right
comes
now,
out in the first segment, I'm not like purposely ignoring you. It just got really like he's yelling at me again.
I promise I'm not. You're good. You're a good young man.
I just have to sit here and just kind of, okay, Nick's yelling. All right.
Quick hits in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
All right, Steelers quarterback Will Howard went from Kansas State to Ohio State to national champion to the NFL in roughly 12 months. And when he appeared on the Not Just Football podcast with Cam Hayward, he said it could have gone differently.
Thought I was going to end up at Notre Dame. And a lot of people don't know this. Like, this was very under wraps. But they ended up signing Riley right before I was about to commit. Like, I was about to commit that day. Like, I call my agent and he's like, sorry, buddy. Like, they just told me they took Riley. And I was like, what? Like, they weren't even talking about it. And so that pissed me off. And a lot of people didn't know that that had happened going into the national championship. So I remember the general manager was standing on the sideline right where we were warming up. And I was just staring daggers through him the whole warm up.
All right. Would the quarterback reverse have done anything differently for Ohio State or Notre Dame if you just swapped the quarterbacks?
Probably not.
Could you have been even better with Riley Leonard? I don't know.
I just wonder. I mean, that sounds mean to Will, but I think he could have accomplished with Jeremiah Smith. I think he could have accomplished everything that he wanted to accomplish.
Yeah, I think between Will Howard,
how great the defense was.
I actually think the only true upgrade.
I mean, Will was really good in the playoffs, though. We do have to give him credit here.
Yeah, I think the only true upgrade would have been Cam Ward. Right? Remember that had been one of the names they were interested in, but Will Howard versus Riley Leonard would have been a really fun, like, what if, just because I think almost any quarterback in college football at that level, we're talking about like power four quarterbacks that you could have gotten and transfer, you were going there and winning that.
Yeah, which kind of stinks if you're Will Howard, because he's got to know that and he's got to kind of accept that. But it's also the part of his story. I bet he just doesn't care.
I'm going to go ahead and say he really doesn't care.
Yeah, I just bet he just does not care. Good for him. National championship. All right, we'll talk about quarterbacks and either their cockiness or their lack thereof in certain instances. With Tua, he was speaking to the media. Bills favored by 12.5 in this one. So far, it's the biggest point spread in the NFL this season because the Browns ended at 11.5 last week. And Tua gave, I think, too much confidence to and too much praise to Josh Allen.
Dude, he's top tier. You know, if it's not with his arm, it's with his legs. You know, that dude can do literally anything he wants. So definitely different skill set for me. I can't do half of what he does when it comes to running the ball and any of that. And then with how he can just chuck a ball down the field, you know, with how far and the arm strength that he has, he's supreme when it comes to that.
It's honest. It might just be a little too honest for my liking.
You don't want him. You want him
not
to be
that
like,
much.
You want him? He's don't a little overrated.
Him. Yeah, don't glaze him that much. No.
But I think he's just saying the truth. You want him to lie?
No, we know he's saying the truth. Yes, in this instance, I want him to lie. I want him to go into this game not thinking he's a less than quarterback compared to Josh Allen. And yes, he is a less than quarterback. I'm happy that he's got the awareness of it. Maybe the Dolphins would win more games if he didn't have the awareness of this, though.
I still am on the idea that Tua and whatever Haley Welch or whatever her name is should have a podcast called Talk Tua to Tua.
Talk Tua to me.
I was thinking Talk Tua to Tua.
Talk Tua to Tua.
Yeah, or Tua to Tua.
I don't think Tua. I don't think he spits on that thing.
Talk Tua to Tua.
Man, she really went away really quick, didn't she? Yeah, I mean, she was there for a while.
It's almost like coming up with some sort of false currency and duping people into doing it. It's almost like that costs you something.
Which is funny, because if she would have come up with one of those adult websites that you pay a subscription to,
yeah,
$50 million.
I still think she's making it. She's doing
$50 million. She could still probably make about $25 million if she did that. But
who's better
$50 million
at what they do? The Hawk Tua girl or Tua Tagovailoa?
Tua right now because I haven't seen Hawk Tua girl in like a year.
It's true.
She's just gone. She's like.
We are about 3 minutes away from it. OnlyFans.
It's so much money that's right there for her. If she would have done it at the peak of it, I'm telling you, no one would have made more money than her on OnlyFans.
Every video that nobody would see of her is her going, "All right, I'm going to ask you a question. What do you like to do in the bedroom?"
Omaha. It's like.
Yeah, one question.
Mac is just hitting the Omaha button repeatedly.
He's trying to keep his hands busy over there.
Yeah, well, easy over there.
Hand check. My turn, right?
Yeah, you.
Justin Herbert is balling out for the Chargers at 2-0. Fans have pointed out that he's been on a different level since he began dating Madison Beer. Many Chargers fans think this is the woman behind all the success here. Is the Haley Steinfeld, Josh Allen effect real for Madison Beer with Justin Herbert?
No, Herbert was good last year, too. It's just he stunk up the joint in the postseason and the postseason game that he played in, and so nobody wants to hear it. He's been good since Jim Harbaugh. The fact of the matter is, Jim Harbaugh is the relationship that we really need to be highlighting, not the one with is it Haley Beer? No, Madison Beer. Madison Beer.
Well, I'm just going to say, I was a shell of a man before I met Vanessa. And over time, she has sculpted me into a somewhat respectable man. I would be nothing without my wife. I think we're starting to learn. Yeah, sure. He had a rocket for an arm before Madison came along. Sure. Gorgeous hair. Hate him for that hair. Are you sure? But he wasn't this guy. He wasn't 2-0. I'll tell you that. He lost games.
He wasn't 2-0.
Before Madison Beer.
He definitely was this guy
last
year.
Now he's undefeated.
The odd thing is that, so maybe if he does it in the postseason, I'll buy into this. If he does it in the postseason, I'll say, Madison, you might have just been the difference. But no, the marriage to Harbaugh, that's the real marriage that Chargers fans need to focus in on. I don't even know. What is Madison Beer from? I don't even really know her. I know
she's
the name.
She's from the attractive part of the internet.
I know the name. I don't really know any. I can't describe anything else that she's from.
The thirsty Twitter, right?
Can we get a single yeah, anything? Okay. She's a singer?
I've never heard her sing one lick of a note, but I've seen thousands of pictures of her. Okay, that didn't sound great. What I mean is,
how many photos have you seen?
I mean, on Twitter.
Staying on that internet? So you're the thirsty corners of the internet that you're talking about, okay?
No.
You can be our thirsty corner of the internet. You know, we have a WNBA correspondent. If you want to be the thirsty corners of the internet correspondent, we have that open for you.
And we now go to the Gooner expert on Afternoon Drive, Nick Wilson. She fine.
I mean, you guys are Boomer and Gooner.
It's Boomer and the Gooner.
On the Fan.
She's hot. 216-474-0092.
Do we debate who's old and who's hot? It's like,
which
both,
one of us?
Both, I'm old, she's hot. It's great.
Which one of us? No. Is Madison Beer.
By the way, what a play that would have been if I just had every idea who Madison Beer was. But I'm like, my wife's listening. I don't know who Madison Beer is. I genuinely have no idea who she is.
Sure. Wink, wink.
No idea.
Me neither.
Just Googled her for the first time.
John Kuhn, Packers Radio Network, Packers. Former Packer and the Tundra Green Bay podcast. We'll see how rosy things are in Green Bay and what he thinks about this game on Sunday in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.